This is Wisconsin Today. Whether you're a gardener or a farmer, it's no secret, weeds can do a lot of damage to plants and crops.
Despite summer-like temperatures, fall begins this weekend, and this means farmers across the state will finish up the harvest, get ready for winter, and re-examine their approach to weed management.
From herbicide application to electronic weeding, Wisconsin farmers are using a lot of strategies to try and stay in control. Jerry Clark is the regional crops and soils educator for the Division of Extension at UW-Madison. He serves Chippewa, Dunn, and Eau Claire counties. Jerry, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
Now, for the non-farmers out there, they might think, okay, if we're worried about weeds, it might be spring and through the summer as crops are growing. What kind of stuff is going on with weed control in the fall and post-harvest?
Yeah, fall is a good time for farmers to be out scouting to see how this last season's program worked, whether that's a conventional farm or an organic farm. Fall is a good time to go scout fields. As they're harvesting, they'll be looking at areas of the field that was there good control or poor control of specific weeds. And the fall of the year also is the best time to kind of look at that perennial weed control. We think of always doing weed control in the spring, but fall is an excellent time, actually the best time to control many of our perennial weeds, but also get a good idea of how a weed control program worked throughout this last growing season.
Now, we keep saying fall, Jerry. It starts this Sunday. Sure doesn't feel like fall in a lot of the state, up in the 80s, a lot of this month so far. How does that affect what we're doing in the fall on farms?
Yeah, we usually see some of those winter annuals that we can deal with. They'll set up shop this fall, such as a shepherd's purse is a common weed that's a winter annual. And when we have weather like this, it usually can get them to grow a little more aggressively in a vegetative state. They won't set flowers or start to set seed until spring, but many of the perennials and these winter annuals that we have can definitely get a little more robust in growing conditions like this. They do need extra water. I mean, that's just like any other plant. And so where we've had some dry conditions across much of Wisconsin, especially here in northwestern Wisconsin, we've seen a little bit more drier weather. Sometimes that can reduce the amount of seed output or any of that vegetative growth that some of these winter annuals will have, or these perennials that want to be a little more robust, they might be running out of water just like any other plant or crop that we have out there.
Jerry, I haven't looked at the numbers for the year yet. I'm guessing if we look at the season as a whole, it's going to look like, hey, average rainfall, except there's a lot in the first half and like almost none in the second half. What has that meant in terms of crops and weed control?
Exactly, Rob. It's been kind of a tale of two growing seasons all built into one here with the really wet spring. And so we've had issues this spring with and early summer with that weed control that farmers have had to struggle to get either a herbicide on if they're more of a conventional producer, or if they're using an organic control, whether that's cultivation or some other type of control of weeds. This early spring was difficult because we want timely weed removal in the spring and early summer before that crop gets going. And we had that struggle this year. So many fields were weedier this year. And now that we get into the fall, we start to see those weeds still pulling some of that moisture out that we don't have a lot of. And that pulls away from the crop as it's trying to finish the grain production, whether that's corn or soybeans, or if we're in a forage or pasture situation, those weeds can still be an issue because they're competing for sunlight, nutrients, and water right up to the end of the freeze up here.
When people think of weed control on a farm, they might first think of the herbicides you mentioned. How much spraying, how much herbicide use does there tend to be this part of the season?
This time of year, we don't see as much. The annual weed control has been pretty much implemented, whether that's a herbicide or a organic control such as cultivation. Those happen earlier, so we try to control those annual weeds throughout the early part of the growing season. In the fall like this, this is where we start to look at managing more of the perennial weeds looking at what the program was this last year for weed control. You're probably looking at herbicide usage for those perennial weeds, such as quackgrass, maybe dandelion, some of those perennials, whether they're broadleafs or grasses, that will be there in the spring. And fall is a good time to control some of those, especially in an older hay field, that alfalfa field or any kind of grassy hay field that's going to be rotated out of production. The fall is a good time of the year for that application of a non-selective herbicide. In the fall, you can use lower rates of a herbicide and probably just one pass of that herbicide application, so we don't need to come back a second time in the spring.
I know nature can be pretty crafty. How much do we worry about herbicide resistance, where, you know, that thing that used to be really effective against a particular weed, well, it's evolved a defense against it over time?
Yes, we've seen that in Wisconsin. We've got a number of herbicide-resistant weeds, both grasses and broadleaves. I think the one that we struggle with the most currently is water hemp. It's in the pigweed family, and pigweeds are very prolific producers of seed. So that's where we look at controlling that with different options. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Rob. We have overuse of some chemicals or some herbicides, and that has led to herbicide-resistant weeds. And what that means is farmers need to change their management program. They may need to rotate crops a little more quickly, or they need to add maybe that third or fourth crop to a crop rotation. Sometimes those kind of things can help. And also cover crops. That's something that we've seen a resurgence of cover crop usage here in the last 10 years. And there's options for cover crops to be used in terms of competition against weeds. And then farmers manage that cover crop in order to not compete with their normal cropping rotation.
I wanted to ask about cover crops, because over the years I've heard, you plant that crop, that post whatever you usually grow there, harvest crop, in part to fix the soil so it doesn't get washed off in that post-harvest rainstorm. Is it effective in outcompeting some of those perennial weeds that might pop up then?
Yes, we have seen that in several cases. Some of our UW research has shown that using something like a winter cereal rye, if you can get a ton or a ton and a half of biomass production out there in the spring, and then either terminating that or crimping that rye down so it competes and kind of provides a mat of cover, that can actually slow down weed emergence or eliminate it altogether. So we've seen the cover crop, yes, you're right, Rob, is it is kind of looked at as a potential for erosion control, but it also is to build, keep a living root within that system, within that soil structure. And then in the spring, having that built-in competition for weeds there, and again, a farmer does need to manage that cover crop as either cover and needs to remove that crop in the spring, or let it grow and harvest it as a harvestable crop, or if it's going to be used for hay or pasture or something like that.
Talking to Jerry Clark, regional crops and soils educator for the Division of Extension at UW-Madison. He works in western Wisconsin. Let's talk, Jerry, about some of the frontiers of weed control. You've been looking at this weed zapper, basically electricity to control weeds. What's going on?
Yeah, so electric weed control is an option. We usually see it more in organic systems, but we have seen conventional farmers use it. It's basically a large copper bar that runs across the front of a tractor with a generator. The bar is set just above the crop, and any weeds that are above that canopy, once they come in contact with the bar, there is an electric voltage of 10 to 15,000 volts that go through this copper bar, and it basically burns or fries that weed with an electric jolt, and it kills off that top growing point of that weed. It gives the crop a chance to maybe grow above and start to canopy some of that soil, so future weeds aren't a problem.
Another technology you have your eye on, drones, aerial technology that collects some land data and then goes hunting for and spraying weeds. Is this a wave of the future, do you think?
The drone technology is emerging, and it's being used quite a bit on the pesticide side of things, specifically for fungicides, where herbicides, we got to be very careful that it doesn't drift onto other plants or trees or crops or gardens where it shouldn't be targeted, and we can have much more injury from a herbicide misapplication than we can potentially with a fungicide application.
Maybe a dumb question here, Jerry. With AI, I'm skeptical about some uses of AI, but you know, being able to tell a crop from a weed, that seems doable. Are there mechanical uses for that? Maybe a rolling drone that can AI say, that's crop, I leave it alone, this is weed, I'm going to cut it or pull it or something. Is that something we could see?
Yeah, I think that's a potential. The crop depends on the size of the equipment. Of course, corn gets so much taller. That's where we have an issue with some of these machines being able to get into that crop canopy without injuring the crop from a mechanical standpoint, even from a chemical standpoint. So more of these shorter crops like where soybeans maybe aren't as tall or some of our vegetable crops, I think we could definitely see some robotic types of cultivation, weed removal types of systems where we don't cultivate an entire field for weed removal. Maybe a shovel comes down, takes out that weed and kind of moves its way across the field. So I think as we see robotics and artificial intelligence emerging, I think that's definitely on the table, along with what we're already seeing from kind of that spot spraying technology that's out there currently.
And Jerry, before I let you go, a lot of people out there might be thinking, well, I'm not a farmer, I got a garden. And I know one of our producers in this boat, they're wondering, what do I do in the fall? What should I be doing when it comes to anti-weed measures?
Sure. I think for gardeners, perennial weed management is always the fall is the best time for that. Whether you're dealing, again, with creeping Charlie, dandelions, some of the quack grass types of perennial weeds, this is a great time to mulch them, get them weeded out, stressing them out. Mowing is another cultural type of approach. Again, cover crops in a garden, putting something like oats or barley in there that's going to die over the winter and provide a mulch that's out there. Those are all opportunities now to keep those perennial weeds in those gardens and lawns under control. If you are going to use chemicals, now is a good time to use those non-selective herbicides to spray those difficult weeds that might be causing a problem within the garden or in a lawn, especially some of those products for broadleaf control to kind of get rid of those, again, the dandelions, maybe plantain, creeping Charlie, those kind of things. The fall is the best time of year to try to control those perennial weeds, which many of us gardeners and those of us that have lawns tend to target.
Jerry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
That was Jerry Clark, Regional Crops and Soils Educator for the Division of Extension at UW-Madison. He serves Chippewa, Dunn, and Eau Claire counties.
Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, an endurance swimmer has crossed all the Great Lakes and is attempting to conquer Lake Michigan again.
It's not an easy thing to do, to cross this huge puddle of water between our two states here. They call it a lake because it's freshwater, but make no mistake, it's an inland sea.
What it takes to swim for days on WPR News.